So part of the first step is the memory, right? And that's where I asked you to record a dream and submit it. And I also asked you to name it. So that is part of the exercise for memory is if you were to give your dream a title, what would you call it? And, you know, it can be a quick little title, which is what yours is. But this gives us a quick insight, a very condensed idea of what the theme of the dream is about. So the title that you chose is Concerned About Claire.
Well, hello, lovely listeners. Today, I have got the wonderful Megan Mary. Megan is a dream analyst, and I've always been intrigued by dreams. I have the most bonkers dreams that, to me, make no sense. Sometimes I have my dad visit me, which is wonderful, and I know that's a different dream altogether because it feels completely different. But more about Megan. So Megan is a dream analyst. She's also an educator, speaker, writer. And on your LinkedIn, it says you empower women through dream analysis, which sounds amazing. You also are a member of the International Association for the Study of Dreams, and you hold a Master of Arts and Bachelor of Arts degree in English. You've been featured as an expert in the widely read magazine, Parade Magazine, which is in the US. And you say you've spent your career creating meaningful change through digital publishing and marketing. But after being diagnosed with 3 different chronic illnesses, you began to reevaluate your life purpose, as lots of people do in that situation. And you started to return to the higher guidance, which was hidden in your dreams, which also sounds very intriguing. And you said you're a writer, an artist, an educator, a blogger, and a painter. You're also certified in plant-based nutrition and online education. You're a home chef, Halloween enthusiast, and you live with your rock star drummer husband and cats in Idaho Falls. I'm also a singer and a sort of guitarist. So get all of that. So, and also I hadn't realized until earlier today, you've got your own podcast, Women's Dream Enlightenment. And that's all about dreams and deep discussions. And I've actually subscribed today, Megan. So I'm going to start listening. So for my listeners and viewers, welcome first. Welcome. Thank you so much for your time today. And our listeners love to hear a backstory, you know, where you've come from. And obviously, I mentioned there about your chronic illnesses, and that sounds like a pivot time in your life in terms of when things started to change. But over to you, Megan. Welcome. And we'd love to hear a bit more about you.
Thanks, Mel. Thank you for having me. I'm thrilled to be here. And thank you for that wonderful introduction. Yes, I mean, that really gives people a really good idea right from the beginning. So my journey, when I was younger, I was just fascinated with anything that had to do with magic or things you can't see. I felt that there was so much more to life that people weren't telling me. And I really was intrigued by what I could access and what I was sensing and what I was feeling. And it really started my lifelong obsession with Halloween at that time, because it really was the only time of year that everybody acknowledged that there's spirits around us and things could be mysterious and spooky, and you could have this whole communing with the other realm that sometimes you felt you might not be able to access. And so I wanted that all the time. I wanted that feeling and that acceptance of being in that space, walking those two worlds. And when I grew up, I kept my observance of that, but I did what most people do and started doing a career and really just focused on that most of my life. I did have an experience where my father passed away when I was 21, very suddenly. And so I also have visitation dreams of my father, and that really catapulted me into feeling like I did have access to that other side, and that dreams were really a portal for that for me. And as I got older, I kind of, I don't want to say stopped listening to my dreams, but I really didn't pay attention as much as I did in my 20s. And it wasn't until later in life when I started developing a whole series of health problems that just started compiling. And then several of them all at once, that I really had what some people call the dark night of the soul, where I really just felt at the bottom and felt like, okay, I have to make a change. I have to start really being true to myself. And what is it that I'm ignoring that's really causing all of this dis-ease in my body? And so I started paying attention to my dreams again, and I started journaling them again. And as part of my healing journey, I started meditating every day. And that really opened up the whole spiritual world that I had kind of closed off. And I call it an awakening, but it really was more of a remembering, where I really kind of came back to where I was and thought, this is where I'm supposed to be. This is what I'm supposed to do. And I was in the middle of writing a fiction novel, which I'm still in the process of finishing. And when this all happened, and I was pretty much called by spirit to do this work and said, this is what you're going to do. And I said, well, no, there's a million reasons why I'm not going to do that, and why I can't do that, and why I shouldn't do that, and why that's not a good idea, and why it doesn't make sense. And there's not a place for it. And it's not, I'm not condoned and approved. And, you know, I had all these blocks and things that I had to work through to step into that calling and to embrace it and to take the courage, find the courage to do that. Once I did, it seemed like almost immediately surrounded by women all over the world that were intrigued, that wanted my help, that wanted to support me, that validated my experience. And it was so such a wonderful experience. And I created my podcast, Women's Dream Enlightenment, mostly because I wanted to create a platform for other women to share their stories. And quite honestly, in a little bit of a selfish way, I wanted to surround myself with a lot of women that were doing that work and experience what they had to offer. And so I said, hey, you know, if you have a story and you experience something and then you found out something about yourself and now you're offering that to someone else, come on my show and tell me your story. And then we'll be able to exchange our gifts and our offerings and our modalities and experience what it is that we've discovered about ourselves. And that just was like a huge catalyst. So much happened when I opened that door that I couldn't believe it. And I actually had never an intention to create a podcast. I didn't even listen to podcasts at that point. And it was like, oh no, this is what you're doing. And when I did, I was like, okay, I see why now. And it's just been an amazing, amazing journey. And so that's really my mission now, is just to spread the word about how important our dreams are. And through all of my research and reflection and my journey, I've devised my own method for doing that. And I just want to share it with everyone so that they can use it for themselves and use it as their own tool to access the higher guidance that's in their dreams.
Okay, thank you for sharing all of that. So, Megan, before we move on, you obviously mentioned that you got these illnesses and they sort of all came at once. How long ago was that? Were you working in a different job? What was it that you do you think was the trigger for all of that to all of a sudden manifest in your body?
Mm-hmm. Well, I started out with my first situation, my first diagnosis, probably 10 years ago. I mean, I've been living with interstitial cystitis, which is a very common, I won't say very common, but it's mostly in women condition, for probably 10 or 15 years. But about 3 years ago, I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's, which is a hypothyroid. And that's an autoimmune condition. And usually when you get one, then you start to get more. And so that was kind of the first one. And I think it was stress, probably. They say that, you know, genetics loads the gun, but that lifestyle pulls the trigger. So, you know, the other people, other women in my family have that same condition. So I was obviously genetically predisposed, but at some point my lifestyle and the condition of the state of my life triggered that condition. And then just everything started compounding. And so I ended up having, you know, being diagnosed with chronic Lyme disease and having cataract surgery and mold illness and all this stuff all at the same time. And it was, you know, I talk about it on my blog, the condition of my eyesight just rapidly declined to the point that I had to have the cataract surgery, which I'm quite young for having to need, but my eyesight had always been kind of poor growing up and just had really reached the point where I had to do something about it. And what was so metaphorically interesting about that was that I grew up extremely nearsighted. And as a result of the surgery, I became extremely farsighted. And the metaphor of that is quite interesting. And also when I went through that period where I was undergoing the surgeries and trying to recover, my eyesight was extremely challenging. And I went through a lot of extreme stress about the fact that, is this ever going to come back? Am I ever going to actually be able to see well again? And I feel like when I lost a lot of my external vision, it really dramatically raised my ability to have an internal vision. And I really, it started to compensate in that way where it was like, you know, you don't need to see out right now, you need to see in. And then when you see in, you'll be able to see the big picture.
That's interesting. I like that. So how long ago was that then, roughly?
Last year.
That was last year.
Mm-hmm.
And so from last year till now, so last year was the pivot then in terms of you mm-hmm. doing what you're doing, including including the podcast. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. The podcast is just this year.
So. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And so explain to us then what it is that you're actually doing with these women and empowering these women. What does it look like if people that are listening are interested in obviously dreams?
Mm-hmm. So what I've devised and what I offer is virtual dream sessions, basically, where women can come and tell their dreams to me that they've recorded. And I use my method to help them understand the deeper meaning. And then I also have what are called dream journeys, which are series of sessions where I also incorporate different healing modalities into that have been beneficial to me. So whether they be meditation or affirmations, journal prompts, and musical frequencies. So there's different things that I've found have been really beneficial in once you find out what that meaning is, what you then do with it, how you then heal from that, reflect on that, incorporate that into your life. And so that's what I primarily do. I also have a course that is a self-paced course that women can take that will allow them to learn the basics of the method so that they can apply it daily in their life and start really being able to do that self-development work on their own. And I also really encourage spiritual providers to learn this method as well. So if you'd like, I can go into the method. And if you'd also like, I can then apply that to a dream that you've shared.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So first, I'm going to explain the method really briefly, and then we'll do the application. So the method is 4 simple steps. Memory, mood, mirror, and metaphor. So the first one is memory, and it's basically just remember your dream, which for some people is a difficult first step. Some people say, oh, I don't dream, first off, which you do 5 or 6 dreams a night, or I don't remember them. Okay, so then we work on that. We work on really applying the techniques to improve your dream recall. And then I encourage people to keep a dream journal, and I provide a template that you can use so that you know what you're going to pay attention to, what you're going to try to remember. The second step is mood. And that's where I ask you to record in your journal the mood that you had that day before you went to sleep, the mood that you experienced in your dream, and then the mood that you woke up in. Because they all can inform us a little bit about what's going on in your subconscious. The third step is mirror. And this is the most important step because it's where I draw out from you through a series of questions how the dream mirrors your waking life. This is in direct opposition to a dream dictionary, which would impose a meaning on your dream from an outside source. Instead, it puts the dreamer in the power seat and empowers them to say, okay, this is what this makes me think of. This is what this reminds me of. I think this is related to this in my life. So it's a very personalized interpretation. And then the fourth step is metaphor. And that's where I say, okay, here's what happened in the dream, but how can we look at this as a metaphor? Much like what I told you about my eyes, how is what I experienced with my vision a metaphor, a greater metaphor for my life? And after we do those 4 steps, we arrive at the meaning, and they're all M's, so they're easy to remember. So
and you're an M and I'm an M.
Yes, that's right. So you, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I was thinking of something while you were going through those. So I know that you've done, you've obviously done education related to this. And, but what makes this, and I said this to you before I hit record, what makes this the correct way to interpret dreams? Because you mentioned the Dream Dictionary there. I bought one years ago, recommended to me, and I was just like, what a load of rubbish as I was reading through it. Cause it, you know, just, it was so like made no personal sense to me. So What makes your method and this method that you've learned the right one? Cause there's probably other methods out there and there's other theories about dreams and everybody's got their own opinion. So what's your take on that?
Yep, absolutely. I feel like the reason that it is the most beneficial method is because it derives the meaning from yourself. So I don't impose something on your dream. I don't say, well, you dreamt of a snake and a snake means X. You dreamt of an owl means this. Because for you, an owl and a snake are going to have totally different experiences based on your life experience, your associations, your subconscious associations, your perceptions. It's all unique to you. So what I try to get people to do is use the method to learn their own dream language. Everybody has one and no two are the same. And your language is comprised of everything that is stored in your subconscious, which is a result of your experience in life. And no two people's experience is the same. So it makes sense that no two people's subconscious is the same. And so that's why I feel it is an empowerment exercise. And it's also so personal. No two interpretations are going to be the same. And if two people had the same exact dream, it would have a different meaning.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that makes perfect sense to me. I know there'd be some naysayers out there and go, oh yeah, well that just means you can say anything and it will mean anything, you know. And you know, you have the same people saying the same stuff about astrology and things like that. Well, you know, that can fit half the world, right? So, I totally get that. And it's quite interesting, like you said, the subconscious for this lifetime. But, you know, I believe in past lifetimes. I'm sure you do as well. And that subconscious is holding all of that information as well, right?
Yes, absolutely. It is.
Mm. Okay, cool. So carry on then.
Okay. So you had graciously submitted a dream for us to discuss today, and I'd love to use that as an example to demonstrate the method.
Yeah, cool.
So part of the first step is the memory, right? And that's where I asked you to record a dream and submit it. And I also asked you to name it. So that is part of the exercise for memory is, if you were to give your dream a title, what would you call it? And, you know, it can be a quick little title, which yours is, but this gives us a quick insight, a very condensed idea of what the theme of the dream is about. So the title that you chose is Concerned About Claire. Mm-hmm. So that's your title. Next, I'm going to ask you about the mood. And so I did, and you submitted what you felt, and that was that you woke up a little concerned. So I'm going to read the dream record, and then we will look at the next steps. So the memory is that your friend Claire, who was vividly in bed with her eyes closed, though they opened when you tried to wake her, but she wasn't responding verbally to you. You were worried, as Claire historically has suffered depression and stayed in bed for months last year. You thought it might be a premonition, but then she told you she's fine and she just started a new job. Then you wake up, and when you wake up, you were feeling a little concerned.
Yeah.
So let's first look at the mood. So in the dream, you say you're worried. You're worried about Claire because of her historical history with depression, and you woke up concerned. So let's amplify that emotion a little bit and just tell us a little bit more about how you felt during and after the dream.
Yeah, it felt like one of those dreams, like I said, not so much a visitation, but a more... I call them out of bodies. They're not, I don't know what the right phrase is, but it feels more than a dream. It feels like a connection of me to her energetically. And so when she was unresponsive in my dream, I obviously had the awareness to relate that to what she's been through, which has been hell and back, to be honest. And it was just weird the way she opened her eyes, because I can see the eyes now, and they weren't her eyes. They were much darker blue, and they were a bigger blue than her. She's got these like really quite pale, sparkly eyes, but these didn't really emulate that. But she was looking at me like she was okay, but almost in the face she seemed okay, and like she was like... able to translate that without saying anything to me, but she just didn't say anything. And I sort of remember, which I didn't put on the phone, but I sort of remember being a little bit wrapped up in the covers. And I do have a memory of, so there's four of us that contain this friendship. We used to work together. And I remember at least one of those others being present in the dream, but not visually, but I knew she was around somewhere. And then in terms of the colors, like I said, I sort of remember a navy blue, maybe a bit of red or pink, and maybe a bit, you know, when you have those like you go to like a hippie store or whatever and you get those kind of bags and tops and everything where it's got that hippie vibe to it, and maybe different patches. And maybe a bit of silver and gold and a bit of sparkle and all of that. So I sort of have a memory of it being a bit like that as well in terms of the sort of bedspread or the covers that were over her.
Okay.
But
okay.
As I said to you, I'm annoyed that I didn't journal it because I know there's more to it, but I can't remember what the rest of it was.
Okay. So when you say that you thought it might be a premonition, but she tells you she's fine, just starting a new job, did that happen in the dream or did that happen in real life?
Real life.
Okay. Okay. So when was the last time that you felt worried in waking life?
About Claire?
No, about,
in, about anything.
Were you worried about something else? And you don't have to say what, but when you went to sleep, that wasn't her.
Yeah.
Okay. And I mean, that's common, right? We all worry. But the point is that now we're going to move into the mirror stage. And so here's where we're going to look at the people, the situations, the places, the actions, all the little parts of the dream. And so first, I'm going to look at what happens first is your friend Claire is the person. She's the main person. And so I asked you if you had to describe her in three adjectives, how you would describe her. And you had said very bubbly, spiritual, and quick to anger and upset. And so those are three things that you would use to describe her. Now, the setting is a bedroom, I presume.
Yeah.
And is it one that you recognize or do? Okay. And what if I had to, if I didn't know and I was asking you what a bed is for, what would you say the symbol of a bed is for?
Rest.
Or what is a bed for? Not the symbol, just what is it?
Sleep, yeah, and to rest. Yeah.
Okay. And so you go and you see her in the bed, but her eyes are closed. Now the action is that you try to wake her. So that's what you're trying to do. The reaction or what happens is that nothing happens. She doesn't respond verbally to you. Now she does open her eyes, which is interesting. And so that's an action. And she is, her eyes are not her own. Mm. So whenever we look at anything in the dream, we say, okay, is this a place that you recognize or is this something you don't recognize? Is that person like themselves or are they not like themselves? What is making them slightly different? What is the difference? And in this case, it's the eyes. The eyes are different. And we're going to look at the color too, because I'm going to incorporate some color theory into how her eyes are different from her normal eyes in waking life. And so then we're going to put all of that together. So you said that there were also other people present in the background. So describe those people.
So the main one, I'm not sure if the other one was there, but the main one is our friend as well. And she, how do you want me to describe her? Physically or?
Three adjectives, but not physical. So her personality, yeah, like you did with the other one. Mm-hmm.
Okay. A traveler. I don't know if that's a right adjective or not, but
that's fine.
She loves to travel. A worrier.
Good.
She's also suffering with mental health, depression.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I would say, you know, love's fun, but it hasn't been like that really for the last 2 or 3 years because, well, she's been going through what she's been going through.
Okay. Now she's in the background. Describe how you experience that in the dream, where she is.
Just behind me, sort of behind to the left. Didn't really see her, was just aware that she was there. Maybe she said a couple of things, but I don't really remember. But I just remember her being present in some way.
Okay. So let's also look at the colors. And you mentioned the very colorful bedspread and that what it reminded you of. If you can say again, you said that in one of those stores that you go in where you see the beautiful cloths, what does being in that space where you saw that make you feel like when you think about seeing that beautiful?
I think because it's like those stores that you go into where it's full of crystals and clothing that I don't wear, but is synonymous with more spiritual people. And so, yeah, it conjures up, I don't know, thoughts of obviously spirituality, thoughts of people that probably live more simply, you know, that are growing their own veg and, you know, and all that sort of stuff, and less enamored with the materialistic world. It's always smells of incense. And yeah, I think it's a place because I love crystals and all of that, and I've got plenty of them. But it's a bit like I suppose because I did a shamanic sound bath last Saturday, and my original yoga teacher was present. I haven't seen her for quite a while, and she many years ago, probably about 9 years ago, she sort of guided me out, as I call it, the spiritual closet. Because I was a very ambitious corporate, you know, in that whole rat race, and didn't feel that spirituality and that married up very well. And so kind of kept it to myself. And she gave me the confidence to basically step out of the closet, if you like. And I sort of feel like that in one of those shops, that I'm half in and half out. I've got, you know, I love the crystals, I love the incense, I love the tarot cards, I love all of that, but I wouldn't wear any of that clothing. And I don't know, you know what I mean? It's not it's not my cup of tea, but there's like a repel to that part of it, if you like, but embracing the other part of it.
Okay. That's really good. Okay, so first I'm going to look at the colors. And I'm just going to read you a couple statements that are using Robert Haas's color theory of the colors that were represented in your dream. And you can just absorb them, see if any of them resonate with how you are feeling. So the blue, okay, the one that I like most out of these for you is, I need rest, peace, or a chance to recuperate, because the symbol of the bed is where you rest. And here are some other statements. I need to feel I belong. I need a relationship free from contention where I can trust and be trusted. I need a peaceful state of harmony, offering contentment and a sense of belonging.
I like the last two.
Mm-hmm. And because her eyes are not her own, it's meant to draw your attention to them. And because they're a deep blue, it's a very deep feeling of these sentiments. Now, when you look at the pink and the red, which you mentioned, and when we combine that with the aspects of your friend. You mentioned that she is quick to anger and upset. And one of the statements I like under pink for you is, I need something to calm me down. I am avoiding aggression and want to calm those feelings. It also, some other statements are, I need nurturing. I'm dealing with a feeling of assertiveness that is new to me. The driving energy I feel is new to me. I'm feeling very sensitive about something, and I need nurturing or gentle soothing. Also, when we look at red, there are a number of statements there. I want to live life to its fullest. I have a driving desire. I'm feeling anxious. So when I look at the metaphor in the last step here of the theme of the dream overall, and what you've incorporated about what is present, we basically have that you are concerned and worried and trying to awaken something. You're trying to get a response. Now, Claire in your dream can be a mirror for an aspect of yourself. And it could be that you are trying to awaken that spiritual part of yourself and quench that pattern, perhaps to be too quick to anger or get upset because you're not getting the response that you want. The colors of the bedspread and the associations that you have with the way the bedspread looked, with the sparkles and all the different colors, reminds you of that place, that metaphysical or New Age shop, and how part of you feels connected to it and part of you does not, and that it represents not just spirituality, but a more simplistic life, a less materialistic life. And the other friend that's present in the dream is behind you, meaning they are in your shadow. They are representing part of your shadow self, which is worried, and which is also a traveler and also has had mental health issues as Claire has. So I would ask you to look at what aspect, what situation in your life is this a metaphor for? And you don't have to say, but it's going to help you to understand what it's representing. It's calling on you to address your feelings of concern and your feelings of that the questions you have around your spirit, this connection to spirituality, and what reaction you're trying to get, that response that you're trying to get that you're not able to get. So what is at the center of that concern? And if you'd like, I can draw an oracle card for you as well.
Yeah, I have to say, a lot of what you just said resonates completely. So this shit's good, right?
Good. All right. Well, if you'd like, I can do that now, and we can see what comes up. Okay, so I'm going to hold it in front of my face. The card is Passion and Pleasure.
We like that.
And the message is savor your life. Mm-hmm. And for those listening, it's a beautiful portrait of friends gathered around a campfire by the moonlight. And there is an open camper. It's kind of almost a Renaissance type looking scene. And there is a woman dancing around freely around the fire. And she's holding, might be a tambourine in her hand. And there's another friend behind the fire that's playing maybe a flute, and two more friends looking on. And so the message of this card is really to step into that connection to spirituality that is your passion, and to seek out the pleasures, allowing yourself to savor your life and to not be so centered on the worry and the concern that might be bogging you down, that might be lowering your energy vibration, and to really step into that, embracing the people around you that can bring you pleasure and that will allow you to dance in your passion.
Yeah, all very relevant, honestly. The whole theme of the last couple of weeks really has been more about connecting to the divine feminine, more about I can feel my vibration ascending anyway. I was in a very dark place for the last few months due to something that happened within my last relationship. And I know damn well that I sunk in my vibration throughout that time, and it's been quite a challenge to bring myself back, if you like, over the last few months. And as part of me feeling better, the connection to spirit is getting stronger, and certainly in the work that I want to do going forwards as well, because I'm a coach, but I can see it being more spiritually based than just, you know, the life purpose stuff. And obviously the four friends around the fire, that's quite interesting. And the musical instruments, because that's part of my life too. And I think she had a red skirt on, didn't she? Because I was thinking about the colours in the dream.
Yes.
Is it red or pink? Oh. I can't see.
Yes.
So yeah, it all feels, and that caravan, which is obviously an old school caravan, I had a past life regression. I've had a couple. And yeah, I always see that style caravan in my past life. So interesting.
Oh, fantastic. I don't know about you, but I got chills all over.
So yeah, pretty good. I like
awesome.
That. Thank you, mate. Yeah, that was amazing.
Awesome.
So in terms of what you've just done then, that is all of the process or part of the process that you do with women?
That's the method. And then if I have clients work with me in a journey, we do that multiple times over the course of a period so that we can start to see patterns, so that we can work on things as they come up and as they progress. And then I also curate different healing modalities on there for their journey. So each time after we meet, based on what they're encountering and what they're working on, I'll recommend different modalities to help them on that path.
Okay, amazing. So if people's interests are piqued, is it just women you work with, or do you work with men as well?
Yes, just women.
Just women. Where do the lovely ladies that are listening go to find you?
Yes, that would be at womensdreamanalysis.com. And you can also find me on LinkedIn, YouTube, and Pinterest. I'm also on the Insight Timer app. If anybody uses that, it's a great meditation app.
Okay. And just reminders of your podcast.
It's Women's Dream Enlightenment. And that's on all the major places, Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon, Pandora, everywhere.
Perfect. Okay. Well, Megan, it's been different for me. I've never had something like this on my podcast, so I've thoroughly enjoyed it. It's right up my street. It completely resonated, and It's funny because there was cynicism in me about this whole dream thing. I know that there's way more to our dreams than meets the eye. And I know that, you know when you're having an anxiety dream, when your teeth are falling out and all the rest of it, you know that it's probably because you're quite anxious. And I've had a few of those. But to sort of try and pinpoint, like, yeah, but Jesus, it's so random. You know, my dreams generally are very random. I've just given you a little snippet of a dream, whereas if I remembered it all, there was probably about six different pathways going on around that. You know, it's usually what happens. But it's made me keen to want to start journaling more, and remembering those dreams and the nuances, you know, like the mood and the colors and things like that. And it wasn't until you were asking me the questions about the eyes that I suddenly thought, oh my God, the eyes are not hers, you know, and that's significant. And actually, when you were talking, I was thinking, actually, the eyes are my son's, more so, like the bigger and the dark blue, the darker.
Okay.
Blue. So yeah, and I am worried about him. So I was seeing the analogy there as well. So yes, you've converted me, and
all right.
Yeah, and I do want to journal more and look into it more, because I know there's insights there that I'm completely missing, you know, because I am intuitive at times. So, you know, I do get those downloads. I do have all of that, but sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we're too busy. Sometimes we disregard it and all of that. And, I just love the way that process just really got me to a place of, yeah, that makes perfect sense. So thank you for that. And I always like to finish these conversations with anything you feel called to share as we finish this conversation today.
Mm-hmm. I feel that my main message is just to tell all women to listen to their dreams. And I just want to help women on their path. So I highly recommend everyone check out the self-paced course that I have called Women's Guide to Dream Decoding. It really will help you just have a little primer of all of these methods and give you the tools to really start incorporating it yourself. And that's what I'm here for. That's what would make me the happiest, is just for everyone to really start tuning into their higher self and going on their journey that I hope I can help them on.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you again, Megan. It's been an absolute pleasure to meet you. And for those that aren't watching and only listening, her backdrop is beautiful. So she's got this starry sky behind her. And then I think it's like lavenders or lilacs in a field or something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So thank you again, Megan. It's been a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you, Mel.
If you enjoyed that conversation or were inspired in any way, please, please leave me a review on iTunes. It's the best way for other people to find my podcast and be inspired themselves.
If you'd like to know more about me and my coaching, you can find me at melclarkcoaching.com, Clark with an E on the end, or email me at mel@melclarkcoaching.com.